Well, it is good to be back again with all of you, and thank you all for your prayers the past couple weekends. As most of you know, I was asked to serve as chaplain to a pilgrimage that went to the Holy Land, different people from around the diocese that were there, and certainly you have thought about and prayed for all the holy places where Jesus lived and preached, suffered, died, and rose and ascended. And somebody asked me if it's good to be back, so yes and no. It's good to be back at home with all the people that you love, but it's the Holy Land, so it's a good place to be. Thinking about the gospel passage and about the pilgrimage, a pilgrimage in and of itself is kind of like a metaphor for life. So, point in case, our pilgrimage kind of started off on a bad leg in that we all left from Lafayette on early, 2 weeks ago, 2 Sundays ago. And somewhere near Jennings, the bus we were in caught a flat tire on its way to Houston. So we had to stop in Iowa and get the flat tire changed. That made us late for the plane, which we missed, and that detained us for a day, so we had to stay a day in Houston, and then of course threw the whole schedule out, and people were getting aggravated at the whole time. And of course, you know, when you make a pilgrimage, you're going out of love for God, because you're going to a sacred place. It could be as far away as Rome, or perhaps Israel, or it could be Fatima or Lourdes. It could be as close as your local cathedral. But in any case, you're going to a sacred place out of devotion and love for God, which is easy enough. But you're with other people. And that can make it difficult sometimes, because people do get on your nerves, even on pilgrimages, and that does sometimes happen. So to love God is one thing, but love the people that He puts in our lives, that can be altogether different, but the two go hand in hand. Since life itself is a pilgrimage, we know that. We're here at point A, and we're going to point B, which is heaven, but in the meantime, we have to deal with ourselves and deal with other people. So do we have that love that's necessary to make this a fruitful journey altogether, to make it where we're going? If you ask anyone if they believe in God, they will tell you, well, yeah, I believe in God. Most people will say, yes, they do. If you ask them if they love God, they will say, well, I think so. I've never killed anybody. It's one commandment out of 10, so that's good too. But then you ask people, do you believe that God loves you? And sometimes you might have a question mark there, because sometimes we don't always feel that love of God. But the answer is yes, because God is love and God is perfect. We know that. So God's love for you and for me is absolutely perfect. Cannot change, never will change, because He's God. Our love for God, on the other hand, must change and become deeper and better day by day, day by day. And sometimes God allows what's seemingly bad to make us realize our dependence on Him, to deepen our love for Him and our dependence on Him so we can see His goodness beyond what is seemingly bad. If we love God, if we love God as we should, then these are things that would be evident in our daily lives. Number one, if we love God, we'd want to be people of prayer. We would be praying every day. We would pray daily and pray often throughout the day. In our prayer, we would always thank God. We would praise Him. We'd ask for His mercy and we would plead for His help. If we truly love God, we'd realize the importance of prayer each and every day of our lives. With that, we'd also have a desire to go to Mass. We come to Mass at least once a week because Jesus Himself said, "Do this in memory of me." And we come to Mass for these above reasons, not because we want something or because it's an obligation, but because we love God. And we want to thank Him and praise Him, to ask for His mercy and to seek His assistance in all things. We would also want to unite ourselves more deeply with the Lord in the sacrament of Holy Communion. With that, we would recognize our unworthiness as we stand face to face before God. He the sinless one, we the sinful ones. We would confess our sins and ask for God's mercy. And we would do so sincerely with the intention of improving our lives and avoiding anything and everything that keeps us from God. We'd avoid hell, but more so we would desire heaven more than anything else because we love God. If we truly love God, we would place nothing, nothing, no one, anything, as having more importance than God Himself, and we'd make our relationship with Him the prime thing of all. We'd be faithful to the promises we made to God in baptism. We'd be faithful to the vows that we made in marriage or through ordination. We'd want to do everything possible to love Him and serve Him worthily and well. We would look for every opportunity to do good and to use every last part of our strength to avoid any kind of evil whatsoever. We would not want to kill, obviously, but we'd also not want to steal. We wouldn't want to gossip or to malign other people. We'd never involve ourselves in slander or to cheat or engage in any kind of dishonesty or animosity. If we truly love God, we'd keep our hearts and our minds and our souls pure and wouldn't commit sins of sexual impurity. We would love, we would honor, we would cherish people in our lives. To love, honor, and cherish our parents, our spouses, our children, our family, our friends. We would be respectful and worthy of respect. We would be people of honesty and integrity, fair and trustworthy in everything. We would be generous and kind. We'd be helpful and supportive. We'd always be encouraging. Remember that true Christians tend to be givers, not takers. Givers, not takers. And if we truly love God, we would obey Him. We'd obey all of His commandments. We would read and follow His word and scripture. We would receive the sacraments, and especially the Eucharist, worthily and well, and often. We would read the lives of the saints and listen to their words and try to put into practice the things that we see and hear in their lives. We would have a deep love for the Blessed Virgin Mary and meditate on the Lord's life with her as we pray the rosary often. We would love the church that Jesus gave us. We would follow her teachings. We would pray for the Holy Father. We'd pray for our bishops and priests, our deacons, our religious. And we'd also pray for our future priests and deacons, our future religious, those who are in formation, and we'd pray for and encourage vocations to these vocations, to the religious life and priesthood. We would also want to pray for our fellow Catholics, our brothers and sisters who are here in our parish, those throughout our diocese, our state, our nation, and even our brother and sister Catholics worldwide. We'd keep in mind those especially being persecuted for their faith, and also those lukewarm Catholics and non-practicing Catholics, praying that they would strengthen their faith and come back to an active practice of the Catholic faith. If you and I truly love God and truly loved one another, as Jesus tells us to do, then we would do everything that we can to help and never hurt our neighbor. We would see every person, regardless of their race or their nationality, their status or their background, or anything else, as a person. A person like ourselves, made in God's image and likeness, and loved by Him, and worthy of our love as well. You know, when it comes to loving certain people, there might be certain things that they say or things that they do that we just don't like. That's human. Things that they say or do, how they live, etc. If you don't like those things, that's okay. Because many times there are things that people say and do that God doesn't like either. But He loves them nonetheless. And you see that in Jesus Himself, we see that in God our Father, that He loves the sinner while He despises the sin. And the same thing should be with all of us. To love one another, to love the sinner, not loving the sin, but doing all that we can to encourage other people to leave sin behind and to aspire to a better life. Doing so by our example and our love. Not just by telling them, but by showing them. In the world, we know that sometimes there's wrongdoing that needs to be punished, and of course that punishment might be needed, but there should also be preventative measures, showing people a more excellent way of how to live and encourage that. And if they have made mistakes, to rehabilitate them and to offer our help in making them to be better persons and doing the right thing. The question is, are you and I, as Christians, doing our part to build up society by building up people's characters? In our conversations with others, do we actually take time to listen to other people while we speak to them? I know I do it, and most of us do the same thing. In talking to others, we're listening to them, or so it seems, but at the same time, we're thinking of our response, how we're going to say to them afterwards. And usually, we like to impose our opinions on them. But the question is, do we listen to others, even if we don't agree with them, to at least understand them and see where they're coming from? Are we willing to speak to them? Or to speak with them, rather than just to them or at them, but to speak with them. To find out where we can work together. As St. Thomas Aquinas says, wisdom is always found between the two extremes. Sometimes we have to admit that we're wrong. And do we do that? To admit that we're not always right, and sometimes we can be wrong. That sometimes we are offensive, and that at times we do hurt the dignity of others. Even if we don't mean it, sometimes it does happen. But do we acknowledge it and apologize for that and work for better relations with others? And do we ever stop to consider that sincere human beings all want the same thing? Sincere human beings want the freedom to follow their hopes and their dreams. They want the opportunity to do so for themselves and for their children. And I think we all want that. Every one of us wants to live in peace and to be in harmony with those around us. And we should want those things and work for that. You know, you and I say very often that, yes, I do love God and I do love my neighbor, but let's be realistic. Look around us. Look at the world that we live in, how divided we are in our own country, how the world is still at war in so many places, and we see division even amongst ourselves, within our own families, within our neighborhoods, our town, our parish, our state, our nation, the world. And St. James reminds us, or St. John rather, that we cannot say that we love the God that we cannot see if we do not love the brother or the sister that we can see. And if we say that we truly love them and are sinless, then we are liars because we simply are not loving people as we should. We do not love God as we should. Honestly, we could all do much better and should be trying to do that. We lie to ourselves and we sometimes lie to God himself, but Jesus came to change that. He came to call all of us. He came to call sinners to redemption. He died and rose, and he sent the Holy Spirit for a specific reason, to make us saints. Tomorrow, as we think about all the saints in glory and celebrate All Saints Day, let's think about the fact that God has called us to be like them. We're called to be saints, to be holy and blameless in his sight, to be the representative of his own grace, to be the extension of his mercy. We are the arms, the hands, the feet, everything of Jesus in the world, to represent him. Jesus came to restore you and me to his divine image, the image that you and I lost through sin, and to sanctify us in grace. And all the opportunities are there. So why don't we take advantage of it? Why don't we take advantage of his mercy and live in that grace that he wants to give us? I think I know why. Because we love ourselves. We love ourselves too much. We love ourselves to the exclusion of God. We love ourselves to the exclusion of neighbor. And we love our own will more than we love God's will. And because of that, the world is in the sorry state that it's in. But it can change. Change begins with all of us, within the human heart. And the world can only change whenever each individual decides to change by God's grace and truly love God and truly love one another as Jesus himself has taught us to do. Are we willing to do this, brothers and sisters? Willing to learn, to love God, to follow God, and to do as he wills.